Hi, I'm David.
And I'm Shay.
You listen to Board on the Air on CFCR, where we talk about board games and board game related topics. On tonight's show, we'll be doing what we've been playing, the news, and for our main topic, narrative in board games.
Yeah, so not necessarily like a narrative board game, but a little bit about kind of what is a narrative board game, how are games using it, and do we think it's effective?
And should they be using
it? Well, yeah. A little bit. Do we think it's
should
effective?
There be theme in board
me,
games?
It's time to rehash the general argument between me and Dave about how much theme should be in a board game.
And is it able to be ignored?
Yeah.
Okay, let's start with what we've been playing.
Yeah.
We got some stuff played because it was Friday Night Games at Amazing Stories hosted by Board on the Air.
Hosted by us. We're going to have shirts next time. It's going to be awesome.
We will have shirts. Looking forward to that. Styles is making them for us.
Woo! Yeah, we had lots of people show up. Thank you very much.
Yeah, some new people.
Lots of new people, which was awesome. Thank you guys for coming out. Yeah. Not this week, but next week, Mr. Rao is hosting one there. So.
Correct. Yeah, it's long weekend, so no games this Friday. Next Friday there will be. And watch for what he posts for the feature game, because he does one feature game.
And then the rest of us bring our bags and we play something.
Yes, exactly. So I got to play a game called Yukon Airways.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, this was at our Thursday night games. It is pickup and delivery-ish. So you're doing dice drafting, and the dice are your passengers. And your plane can hold 4 passengers, and you can take up to, or all of one color, and there's 3 of each color die, and then you can get some special abilities that allow you to take all of 2 colors. However many spots are left over are extra fuel you get, and then you have tickets that you need to use to deliver them to different places, and there's 10 different locations, and the routes are farther, cost you more gas, of course, but gives you more money back. And money is victory points in this one. And you do this for 6 days, because apparently Monday's a holiday when you're flying in Yukon Airlines.
Sure. Probably Sunday, actually, but...
It was Monday.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so nobody flies on Mondays.
Cool.
It was a neat little game. Nothing extremely original by any means. You roll the dice, they go put out. The dice stay out there until they're drafted. Any dice that people are draft at the end of the round, they roll and go back. If you can't deliver some of the passengers or dice, they go back as well. And your punishment is you just don't make any money off it and you don't get any fuel for them. It was neat. It was solid. I'm glad I played it, but it's not something that I'm like, oh, this is the best game ever. I'm going to go out and buy this, right? It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was Yukon Airways.
Cool.
What did you play, Shay?
I'm going to include myself in this one. So on our game night, we did cooperative games.
Yes. Cooperative was our theme.
Which was fun. I brought Daybreak.
Yes.
And I attempted to teach Daybreak. I should have looked up more of the rules before we got to the night, but I didn't. I think it went okay, though. But yeah, so I brought Daybreak, which is Ryan Lockett, right? No, not Ryan Lockett. What's the name I'm trying to think of? Leacock.
Leacock.
Leacock, not Lockett. Matt Leacock, Pandemic fame. This was one I kickstarted last year, and it showed up and just haven't gotten a chance to get it to the table. It is about reversing climate change. So you play as one of 4 main global powers. There's US, China, Europe, and then the global majority. And each player has their own amount of energy needs, as well as emissions that they put out. And you start with 5 cards, at the top of your board, and you're going to up to 6 rounds. You are going to deal with crisis cards. You're going to draw cards, play them and take actions and try to reduce your emissions and eventually get majority clean energy. instead of dirty energy that's on your board, as well as, yeah, getting rid of the climate cards that might exist and improving your ability to absorb the emissions that you're putting out. The card laying in this game is pretty neat, I think, because basically, at its base, in your turn, you draw five cards at the start, and then you just play those. And there's other actions that will let you draw more, but generally that's it. The thing that's kind of cool about it is you have stacks on top of your board. You have five stacks. You can either take the action that's on this. Actually, it's not even an either. You can take the action that's on the stack, and a lot of the times, depending on how many of a certain symbol you have behind that card, you can do more with that action. You can also then play a card behind that will add to those symbols usually. Or you can take the action and then play a card in front of it and take the new action that's now been placed there. Of course, you've then covered up the actions behind, but that might mean that you get a more powerful action instead.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's play in front or behind, and then you can take the action that's on the front of the card. And the thing is, you generally, if you're going to cover something up, you're going to try and take that action first and then cover it up so that you get the most out of your turn. So it's very engine building.
Okay.
In a sense.
And your trade, like the people are trading between each other,
you
right?
You can, somewhat. There are global project cards that you get at the beginning of a round that you can fulfill. And if you fulfill them, you get access to some sort of power. And ones that they had, I was playing kind of by helping people, but I didn't have my own power because there was four people playing already. Those were like, hey, if you have this symbol on those cards, they can be traded between people, which is really helpful because, you know, it's nice if you have a card that's more useful to other people to be able to give it to them.
Okay.
Right? As well as you can talk with each other. It's all simultaneous playing. So it's chaos. It's a little bit of chaos, I'll be honest. And it was fun. It's a beautiful game. We lost badly.
You said it took you a couple of rounds.
Yeah, until this is a game that I would 100% recommend playing two rounds and then reset the game and do it again.
Yeah.
Because the first two rounds we were figuring out how to play and we got ourselves in trouble and you couldn't really get out of it. Or at least not easily, because the crisis cards just keep stacking.
Yeah.
I definitely think there's things I would do differently. Like, there's a little bit of, we were really, especially the first round, I was helping somebody out, and we were really focused on her board, and we looked up, and everybody else was, you know, doing other things, and I think it probably would have been better if we had been a little bit more focused on everybody's board, okay, and know what was going on, and maybe focus more on the crisis cards than just on our individual boards.
So basically real life where countries are concerned about themselves, yeah, but not the world.
We fell into the exact problem that the world actually has. This is going to be a hard game to beat, I think.
Okay.
But, you know, I think just some practice with it to figure it out, super, I think it'll be good. And honestly, even though we lost, everybody went out of it saying they had a really good time.
Yeah, it looks neat. I'm warming to cooperative games a little bit more lately. I've been playing a few more lately.
Yeah.
And so they've been going better, and so I've been having more fun with them. I am looking forward to trying this one.
The only thing I will say about it, and I don't know if I talked, I'm sure I talked about this before, this game came with no plastic in it because it is an eco-friendly game, and I really respect that for it. I have no issues with it not being shrink-wrapped. My game came in good condition, so I'm pretty happy with that. The only thing is the boxes that came for the items, the chits and stuff like that. They're horrible. They are like fast food containers. The lids do not stay on properly. So I've replaced those with plastic containers.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. But listen, the other option was I had them in plastic bags inside of the boxes that still didn't close. So I'm sorry. I had to swap the boxes out. I hope in the future that cardboard containers are made better so that, you know, we don't have to use plastic. But these ones just don't do the job you actually need them to do.
Yeah, I've had a few games lately that I've had cardboard containers that I've built.
Yeah.
Something like Cubitos, which isn't lately, but I just did Circadian's Chaos Order and spent a couple hours building boxes.
That's the thing.
They stay together nice.
You can just make a box that folds up like a normal box, and that would have worked great. Instead, they have these little takeout containers, and they are not good.
Well, yeah, they're not ideal. You could have did something environmentally friendly, like have me 3D print you some stuff.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Listen, I just got these boxes that were $5. They're going to last forever. It's fine.
It keeps makes it easier to play,
yeah.
Right? And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, I also played some games Friday night. I started Star Wars Clone Wars. This one we've talked about previously. I got one round in, and then we had some people show up.
Yep.
So I went over and played Flamecraft and Spots. Flamecraft is resource management, lots of fun. We had a great time.
Yeah.
Met two new people that just moved to Saskatoon a week ago and heard there was a board game thing, came out, didn't know when it started or anything. So they were a little bit late, but not a big deal. We still were able to get a game in and play. We played a couple. As I said, we played that and Spots. Flamecraft is wonderful. They had the retail edition, which I had never, or no, I guess I played with it once. So I missed all the pretty bits from the Kickstarter, of course, but I'm a vain gamer and I have admitted that on numerous occasions. I like Flamecraft. I like the
Flamecraft
level.
Flamecraft is great.
It's approachable for anyone, in my opinion, and we had a great time.
Yeah.
Did you get to anything else played last
week?
Yeah,
it was Mother's Day on Sunday.
Right.
So after crushing an escape room with me, my brother, and my mom, we crushed it. We then went home. Well, we went for food first, but then we went to my mom's place and we played Wormspan.
Okay.
And so, which was great. Awesome dragon version of Wingspan, still a fantastic game. I still haven't won at it yet. Actually, I think I won the first game I played, and then I haven't won it since.
Okay.
I had an awesome time with that. Forgot my mats and my first player token, but it's fine. We'll figure it out. And then played Trails of Tucana as well.
Yeah, I heard your mother destroyed you guys.
She really did. That probably the worst I've ever played that game, I'll be honest. I'm usually much better at it than I was, but had an awesome time. Trails of Tucana. I haven't talked about it for a while. I we talked about it on our Roller Rights a while back.
Yeah.
But yeah, just flip and draw basically. Flip two cards, draw a line between those two terrains, trying to connect different routes.
Yeah.
To each other.
Trails of Tucana is a great little game. Something I need to replace at some point. Just haven't.
Yeah.
Solid, solid game.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's get into the news, Shay.
Let's do the news. The news today. A bunch of expansion announcements actually coming out. White Castle is getting an expansion called Matcha. Yep. And it sounds like it's going to be a new area. It sounds like it's the tea room. So this is about, like, tea ceremonies are very important and popular. And so this is kind of bringing that idea into this game. Going to add a tea room, which is a new area you can bring people, advisors in. I played this game once. Bring advisors into.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if we had played that with you.
I've
yet.
Played it once.
Great, great, great.
Yeah,
great
really
game.
Good little game. It also is going to give you an extra action each turn.
Yeah, so this is three or four rounds,
three
turns.
Actions
so
each.
It's 12 turns, yeah. So this is going to add another four, so you'll be up to 16 actions,
yeah.
So it's really going to lengthen the game.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to this, even though I haven't played my Red Cathedral expansion yet. Everything Devir has put out lately, I have enjoyed thoroughly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Expansion for Oath.
Yes, this surprised a lot
yeah.
of people.
Because, okay, the guy who made Oath, right? He
Quarterly.
Arcs, right?
Yeah.
Which was one that I had talked about 2 years ago wanting to play, or last year yeah. wanting to play, and it never came out, and it's finally out, and people are raving about it, apparently. But, all of a sudden he's announced this game that's going to be crowdfunded this month, or this expansion that's going to be crowdfunded this month, called, and it's the expansion, it's New Foundations, and I haven't played Oath, so I don't exactly know if the stuff that they described is new to the game, but it sounds like it's going to be developing your family lineage. There's, like, quests that you will do. It's very narrative sounding. You're doing quests yeah. and things to develop the foundations of your family and affect the building of your kingdom and empire.
Yeah, so this is the guy who did Root.
Mm-hmm.
Ton of expansions for Root. Then Oath was his next big game. The biggest knock on Oath is that it's a good game, but it really, really needs to be played a lot.
Oh.
And in modern gaming, that doesn't happen that often. So having an expansion came out, everybody was like, we don't play the base enough. Do we need an expansion? People are curious, and it does have a loyal following, so people will buy it. But it also caught a lot of people off guard.
Yeah. Let's go even older. Dominion Rising Sun. I think they're getting around them saying Dominion's not getting an expansion by saying Dominion Rising Sun is getting an expansion, or I don't know if that's the name of the expansion. Anyway, you're getting 25 new kingdom cards based on Japan, and this is supposed to come out in June of 2024.
Yeah.
Woo!
So I think 4 expansions ago they
They said
said
no more.
Dominion is done.
Yeah.
And they
It's still
just
going.
keep releasing new expansions because people keep buying them.
Yeah. They keep making money off it, so why not? Ticket to Ride. Adding more to their map collection.
Map
Iberia.
8?
Yeah, Collection 8, Iberia, and South Korea. As with most of their maps, they do change the game just a touch. These ones, I think South Korea is going to have like fast trains, as well as they're separated by color. Iberia, I think, is a little different as well, but at its base, it's Ticket to Ride, just with different locations, which is fun. I like it.
All of the map packs that I played have been fun.
Yeah.
They've all been solid. Some of them add some nice different stuff. Some of them get more difficult. It allows you to play Ticket to Ride at the level you want,
Exactly,
right?
yeah.
There's base Ticket to Ride.
Well, and it's nice to like be able to change up the maps, because at a certain point going across from New York to Philadelphia and blah, and back and back and back and back, you know, it's not that
Well,
exciting.
that's exactly it. And people have strategies to block people out of areas
Yeah.
and blah blah blah. It's of the base games, it's probably the one that I like, or like we talked about the big seven gateways. It's the one that I like the most that's I still will play,
Yeah.
right? Like I really don't play Carcassonne anymore. I don't play Catan anymore. I don't play Dominion,
Yeah.
right? You know, this Ticket to Ride is that one that I just picked up the 10th anniversary edition because I was able to get it for a good price, and I'm happy about that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Game, really interesting sounding game called Tales of Myth and Legend. This is a paragraph book game, which is a new section of games that I haven't really heard about, but kind of was the knock for what we're going to be talking about later. It's set in ancient Greece, and you are playing a hero or heroine,
Heroine.
heroine. Don't mind me, heroine. And you're creating, you're building your character through a scenario or through scenarios, a bunch of scenarios. They say there's tons of endings that are possible in this game.
Cool.
And it's not cooperative. You're fighting against each other and also Alexander the Great.
Okay.
Yep. There's a lot about this one going on with what you could possibly do, but sounds really interesting, and it's kind of neat to see a narrative game that isn't, you're not working with each other,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, I we'll get into it.
Yeah. Following that one, Tales of Arthurian Knights, which is from WizKids. Interesting thing about this, they had announced it, then they lost the person who was in charge of their board game stuff, so then nobody knew when it was coming out, and now they've announced it's coming out in November. And it is exactly what it sounds like. You are playing as King Arthur and Merlin as Round Table Knights, and you're going on quests, but again, it's story-based. And it's based off the play of Tales of Arabian Nights, which I'm assuming is another game from WizKids. No?
No. So Tales of Arabian Nights is it's a game where it's basically choose your own adventure
Right.
and you're going to choose two or three or four different things and you're going to go through this big book to find what happens when all of those coincide and you read a story. It's not really a game per se. It's more of what craziness can I do to have fun with this?
Right.
People that play it or experience it have enjoyed it, but the general consensus of everybody I've talked to is it's not really a game, it's an experience. But it's a fun experience.
Yeah.
They've tried to do this with a couple things I think have re-implemented Tales of Arabian Nights. This is the second one. I can't
I'm
remember the
guessing
first
Tales
one.
of Myth and Legend is also following that then, because it sounds like they both describe them as paragraph books. I'm
Yeah,
guessing this is a
I
similar
suspect they're the
idea.
same thing, yeah.
So I'm interested in these.
Yeah.
But yeah, moving on. Crackle Oracle.
Oh,
That's how it's
yes,
spelt.
I saw the box for this the other day.
This is a co-op drawing game for 2 to 8 players. I absolutely cannot pronounce the company that is making it, but it's a German company. And so yeah, co-op drawing game. You are given oh, each given a word, each given a word, each player gets a word, and you have to draw it on your board, but you can only draw using the line on the lines that are already on your card.
Right, the
Yeah,
sheet
the
has
sheet
the,
has
got
lines on
crazy
it, so you have to
lines.
follow the lines and try and draw it, and then you put them on the table, and each person picks a card with a word they think nobody drew on their board. Once everybody has a turn, only the words that were originally dealt. Sorry, I'm reading from the game now. Only your cards that are originally dealt should remain on the table, so any face-up card that was not drawn by anyone is a mistake. So you're trying not to make mistakes.
It looks like a
It's
fun
it
party game.
sounds fun. It is
Yeah.
not in English. But as they said, just translate the cards, write them on it to begin with, and then you're good to go.
Well, and it has a neat way of mitigating artists versus
Well, that's the thing.
non-artists.
You don't have to be able to draw. You just have to be able to draw on lines to make
Yeah.
a kind of shape.
Follow a line and see if this makes a shape that you want it to.
And that is the news
Okay.
tonight.
You're listening to Shane Dave on CFCR. And we are going into our main topic,
Narrative games.
narrative games.
What
So
is a narrative game?
this is Shay's topic.
This is my thing.
So describe your thoughts on this topic.
So, a narrative game to me is a game that it could be campaign legacy, scenario based, but there is a story driven element to this game, very much falling into RPG style. But in general, there is some sort of story that you're working through.
Yep.
More so than just having a theme. Like, it's actually, there's something written out where you're working your way through something, right? If that makes sense?
Yep. So in these, there are both linear and non-linear games, correct?
You mean like games that follow one long story and games
Yeah.
that have individual stories?
Well, yeah, like basically the way I see it is in a non-linear or in a linear game, the start and the finish of that game are pretty much predetermined. You're doing stuff, but you're following the
I see.
path
Yes, 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 yes.
set up for you. Whereas a non-linear one, you're making choices, and
Those choices affect
those
the end.
choices are going to affect where you end up, and you have multiple endings.
Right, yes, I would agree.
Okay.
I would say up until recently, a lot of the games, the actual board games, so we're not talking about TTRPGs here,
Yep.
although I think that's a lot of where these games are coming from now.
I think they've blended
They've started to blend.
or bleeded into.
Bleed is a better term,
Yeah.
yeah. We're not talking about those, which are inherently open-ended,
Yep.
usually. But what was I talking about? I've lost my train of thought completely. I'm not even lying.
So basically, with these narrative games, they've started to show up a lot.
Right, so I would say linear. We're talking linear,
Yeah, the
non-linear.
linear ones.
Most of them have been linear.
Yes.
They're like, we're talking Clank Legacy, we're talking Pandemic Legacy. Any of those games have always had an ending.
Yeah.
There's a story, and you're working through it, but you're not making, no matter what choice you make, other than maybe win slash lose, there's not much that affects the end of the game, right?
Yeah, that ending is predetermined.
Yeah.
You're gonna do stuff that's going to affect how you get there,
Yeah.
but you're gonna end up at
There
the
might
same
be a
spot.
good or a bad ending,
Yeah.
but it's gonna be there,
Yeah.
right? Whereas the non-linear have become more popular lately. So
Yep.
even in those Tales games, right, they're saying you could have hundreds of options at the end, right?
Yep.
So what you choose actually does matter,
Yeah.
which I think is kind of fun. I like the idea of a game where, a narrative game where your choices actually matter, right?
Yes, and I like the idea of multiple endings.
Yeah. That's one thing that's why, like Gloomhaven, in their reprint, they edited the factions because, from what he said, people were finding they worked on the factions, and then when they finished it, like, when they went as high as they could, it didn't change anything, right? It didn't actually affect the game, so that's why he changed it in the update pack.
Yep.
I'm interested to see with stuff like Role Player Adventures.
Yes.
Whether the choices we're making, it obviously affects at the time a little bit, the choices that we're making, but whether it affects the ending at all, I'm curious about.
Yeah, I've been the narrator, the reader of the Role Player Adventure stuff. And when we get to the end of a book, there are multiple paragraphs that I can be reading that we, depending on what we've done in that thing, is what we read.
Yeah.
The conclusion we always read together, so I guess technically that would be linear.
Yeah, because it does lead us into the next story. Yeah.
And each, we know what books we're going to, but what happens in those stories is changing.
Yeah.
And we've all been having a great time and have talked about going into playing it again. And that's what some of these non-linear ones have really encouraged. And one of the ones I'm thinking about is Sleeping Gods.
Yeah.
Where you play through it, you get to an end, and I think it's about 8 missions in, and then you restart.
Yep.
And it's a different ending for the most part every time you play it, because there's a map that you're going out to explore, and you don't always go the same direction.
Yeah, you can make different choices to go different. It makes it more replayable than just a legacy game where you end up with a map, right? Well,
and I think it's more encouraging to replay it, where a lot of the legacy games and stuff that we've played, we've finished and we're like, I'm never going back.
Yeah, it was great, right? But I'm not going back to it. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, I could see going to Role Player Adventures and playing it again, right?
Yeah.
Artisans of Splendid Vale, I'm really excited to play because I do think it's going to be another one of those that, depending on what you do, you could have different endings, right? I like a game where it feels like you're not just being fed a story, you're actually making the story.
Well, and I like the idea of that character development.
Yeah.
I just picked up a used copy of Mass of Darkness 2. And one of the things that interested me or made me interested in getting it was that they're all self-contained missions, basically. And you always start at level 1 and you can go up to level 5 in that mission. And so it's going to play out differently depending on how you upgrade and stuff. That's a neat idea to me, and I like the idea that it's not a campaign, or it's not a legacy, right, where I have to play through this long story. And that's one of the things with Role Player Adventures, we'll go back to this a lot, is it's 10 missions, right, or 10 levels, you know, and then we can replay it again.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah, I like where narrative games are going. I think they're pushing the boundary of what can be a narrative game in a board game without it being a full RPG. And I'm having a lot of fun with it because that's what I'm kind of getting into. I like telling a story, and I like not just flipping a card and being like, and this is what happened. So
yeah. And as much as I can avoid theme in most of my games, these stories and stuff, I really enjoy the legacy campaign aspect of those. And I like the idea of this multifaceted journey we're on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, and I think
that's a good start. That's a good stopping point. Yeah. Maybe we'll revisit this at some point because I'm really enjoying it.
Next week, Shay's Top 20.
Woo!
Start of season six. I'm David.
And I'm Shay.
Talk to you next week.
Have a good night.